Yes, welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. It's internationals all week this week. No time to slow down. And it's time we headed down south of the border, south of Rafa Gonzalez in Los Angeles, even south of Mexico City, and headed down to South America for a little bit of a check-in on Colombian football. And there's no better man to have on the show to look at Colombian football than the Colombian Football Podcast from World Football Daily's very own Carl Warswick joining us on the line. Carl, how you doing, mate? It's the World Football Daily debut off the bench onto the pitch. How are you feeling, man?
I'm excellent. I'm absolutely wonderful. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on, mate. Always good to get a new person pulling on the World Football Daily logo before making their international debut. And Carl, we've got some big games coming up in South American football. Colombia sat nicely with that game in hand in the CONMEBOL qualification right now. How important is having that extra game over everybody else right now for them?
Well, even a draw in tomorrow's game against Bolivia will put them second. I don't think Colombia would accept a draw at home against Bolivia because it's a team that they've never lost to at home. And they're seen as one of the weaker oppositions in the South American CONMEBOL standings. So really, if they was to win that as expected, that will put them second. And if you look at the goal difference as well, it's much better than every other team in the standings except for Argentina. So, I mean, after 1994 and the whole drama of all that, with the death of Escobar and the highly fancied team that bombed out in the first round, it really took Colombia a long, long time to recover emotionally from all that. And so 16 years they've been missing from the World Cup finals. And it means so much to the people here. I've just arrived in Barranquilla where the game is. I actually live in Bogota, but the game has been held on the Atlantic coast. And every single street, there's just a sea of yellow shirts, people wearing the shirts, people with face paints. It's gone crazy a little bit.
You mentioned there that 94 side, and there was so much expectation, as you say, heading into that World Cup. I mean, some people even thought this was a Colombia side that could go to the final. Are there being the same comparisons made when they talk about this current crop of players in the national team?
I think it's really unhelpful to do that because for a long, long time, a lot of the current team was based upon who's going to be the new PB of Valderrama. Well, football's moved on in the last 15 years. You cannot base a team now on what a team was in the last 14 years. But because it was so deeply entrenched in the country's consciousness, I mean, during that time, we've got to remember these were dark days for Colombia, the bitter civil war with the paramilitaries and the government and the guerrillas were raging and not too far from where most people lived. The Colombian football team was a way of sort of escaping all that. And so to compare that team was very easy to do emotionally, but pragmatically, I don't think it was very helpful. And for the first time ever, and this really has got to do with that man Peckerman, an outside brain coming into the football infrastructure in Colombia and shaking things up and saying, we're going to do things my way. And he has changed a lot. I think more than Falcao, he's responsible for the position that Colombia are in now.
It's difficult, as you mentioned his name just there, to talk about Colombia and not talk about Falcao. I mean, as Colombian football greats go, is Falcao etching his name into history with this international side? Because he's obviously doing it in Europe with the quality finishing that he's providing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is something that's a constant in the Colombian media. Who is the best Colombian player of all time? And this debate is really interesting down at the pub or, light-hearted chat among friends. And I think the verdict is that Valderrama is still the number one, and he is for me too. But that could all change. If Colombia were to qualify for the World Cup and they were to replicate 1990 and qualify for that, then I think he could probably be comfortably seen as the best player in Colombian football history.
But it's not just Falcao in this side, is there? I mean, even from Europe, you've still got kind of James Rodriguez and Jackson Martinez who are having these stellar seasons at the moment with Porto. There's a great amount of young talent still in this Colombia side for the qualifiers, and obviously that will be going to the World Cup should they make it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's a fantastic headache to have for Peckerman that he has so many attacking talents. If we look at Falcao, Jackson Martinez at Porto, Carlos Bacca in Belgium for Bruges, and there are other players that are scoring goals for fun wherever they are playing. Luis Muriel, the youngster in Italy, But the only worry I think I have is that of the defense, because you haven't seen many young players progressing through to be challenging for places. And so if you look at some of the back line, Yepes is 37, Mosquera, I think he's 32, Pereira is 34. Now, there is one player who has been playing, Pekamaz has chosen him, and that's Carlos Valdez. But he's playing in the Colombian League, and he's a good player, but he's not world-class like the strikers that are on offer.
Is that going to be a problem? You mentioned the confidence of this Colombian nation going into this Bolivia game at home, but is that going to cause a problem at all in the latter stages of this South American qualification round? Because it's been so close up until maybe the last round of games, we haven't been able to pick who's going to be breaking clear or not, and it could easily happen again.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is for one reason, and that's Jose Pekerman, because he has come in and he hasn't picked his best players. I mean, I'm from England, and I know this song that the England team has been picked on who are the best players and not what is the best team. And you've seen Pekerman come in, and he tampered a little bit with his squad in the first two games, and they lost in Ecuador 1-0, and then he decided, right, no, I'm going to pick my best team. And some of the bigger names have been dropped. I think most people would see Jackson Martinez and the amount of goals he scored at Porto this season should be in the starting lineup. But because Pekerman sees him as a little bit too similar to Falcao, there's no room for him in the team. And Theo Gutierrez, who compliments Falcao's play a little bit more, has come in alongside him. And there have been players being discarded. If you don't show the work effort, if you don't show the right attitude, the players have been discarded. Dorlan Pavon is a perfect example of that. He was selecting the first two squads, and he hasn't got anywhere near since. He's a very talented footballer. He's got tons of speed. He can use both feet. He's got a thunderous shot on it, but his attitude is all wrong, and Pekerman just won't accept that. And this is in stark contrast to the team of 1994. Throughout that period, the players were walking all over the management. They were going out drinking, bringing girls back to hotels, blah, blah, blah. Faustino Asprilla walked out of the team selections numerous times, and he was told that he was never going to play again. But when push come to shove, the management was too weak. That won't happen under Pekerman. He's got them firmly under control. So that question of confidence, I don't think is going to be allowed to manifest itself, because Pekerman won't allow it.
So does Colombia as a nation then, if they get the 6 points against Bolivia and, of course, against Venezuela next week, do we start booking their flights for Brazil?
I think it's a big question asking for 3 points in Venezuela. I think most people would see that game. In Colombia, at least, maybe not in Argentina, where Venezuela is still treated maybe like Brazil or one of the bigger countries. But because Venezuela and Colombia share a border, there's been some political tensions over the recent years. And also the game in Barranquilla, where Venezuela came away with a point, I don't think that should be seen as a guaranteed 3 points. A point will be accepted. But if they were to get the 6 points, I think that would, something spectacular would have to happen for them not to qualify.
In general, Carl, we've spoken about South American football and looked at how maybe Brazil has been really becoming a financial powerhouse of the region, and we're seeing that with what looks like could be a dominance of the Copa Libertadores as with Brazilian football. What about Colombian national football? What's happening in terms of the financial stability of the league and the sides in the region? Is it going through that same kind of transition that we maybe saw Brazilian football going through a few years back?
There are some comparisons, but at the same time, there are a lot of different things. The Colombian Football League is a bit of a mess. For many, many years, there were a lot of problems with narco trafficker influence within clubs. A lot of the money was coming from those sources, which is obvious, because when the whole country is awash with this kind of money, of course, football is not resistant to that, and they did overlap. Now, these days, when that money was removed, a lot of the bigger clubs struggled a lot financially. Millonarios, and one of the biggest clubs in the country, went through many years of struggling. América de Cali ended up in the second division. They play against amateur opposition in half-filled stadiums. Not even half-filled stadiums, against 10 fans when they're on the road. and went in the own home, they attract 30,000, removed. And that's not to say it has been removed completely, of course not, but a lot of the clubs went through a so-called cleaning up process, and that was quite painful for a lot of clubs, and that's had a lasting impact up until now. The clubs are still not sure of how to make money. There's still a big problem, similarly to Argentina, where crowd violence every week is one of the talking points. It's something we talked about on the Colombian Football Pod. Every week there's a death or a TV's banned because of pitch invasions. So I don't see it being the same. That said, a couple of TV deals have been signed in the last couple of years, in which has injected more and more money into the national game. And you have started to see some players resisting offers from Mexico or China to stay, not from Europe, because that's never going to be the case, but Colombia just can't compete. But from the other surrounding nations, where traditionally maybe they'd have gone to Argentina, they might stick it out for an extra year in Colombia now.
Because in South American football, unlike what seems to be the trend at the moment in European football, you look at this Colombia side, there's only, I think, five players from the Colombian league football in this national side. Everybody else plays their football either in Mexico or in Europe. We've seen Italy saying they want to keep hold of Italian youngsters and keep them in Italy playing football in Serie A. We've obviously seen Spain do that with the national team. We're seeing Brazil do that to an extent with Neymar and players like that, and Damião, and the quality we saw at the Olympics from them. Is this something that Colombian football is trying to work towards as well, to having more of their own homegrown talent, similarly to like the USA have done, in the national team, or are they happy to export it out to Europe to improve, get better in quality, and then bring it back for the national stage?
I think on one hand they would absolutely love to, but realistically Colombia just cannot compare to Brazil, Italy and Spain, countries that you mentioned, that there's just not the financial muscle for them to do so. But, and on the other hand, it's also recognised that for a lot of Colombian players who have these experiences playing in different cultures, in learning different languages and playing with some of the best players in the world, it's actually a good thing. And that team of 1994, they're only a pocket full of players who actually have that experience. And this is one thing that Pibe Valderrama said recently, that he thinks that this team is better than the team from the 90s because they've had that experience. So I think it's a bit of both, really.
Just finally, Carl, I can't help notice that you're not possessing that much of a Latino twang to your voice today. I mean, this is the first time we've had you on the show. Whereabouts are you actually from? Because I'm guessing you're not a Bogota native.
Nah, I'm not. I'm from Wigan. I'm from Wigan, about an hour from Manchester. I've been living in Bogota for about 2.5 years. Maybe I haven't picked up the twang just yet.
But you're not a Manchester United fan, are you? You're not a glory hunter. You're one of the Wigan guys who's gone across down the road to become either a Liverpool or Man U fan.
No, I don't follow any template. I absolutely despise Manchester United. Just from growing up in a school where every single person was supporting Manchester United in the early 90s. I'm not a Wigan fan either, because I didn't have that influence of football from. I mean, Wigan in the late 80s, early 90s didn't really exist as a footballing entity. It was all rugby league, that area. So it was just a fluke that I ended up going to watch Crewe Alexandra. And there was a player there was head and shoulders above everyone else. David Platty went on to be the next England captain. And a few weeks later, Crewe sold him to Villa. And yeah, I'm a Villa fan, actually. Which has been a bit painful this season, getting up at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning because of the time difference to watch some pretty miserable performances.
That's how we like it, though. You're at least keeping the dedication of getting up early to watch it. Do you think they stay up this season, Carl? Do you think Villa actually do it?
Well, compared to last season, I was very happy to have Lambert in charge, but he really has tested me at some points this year. I mean, that week when they lost in the League Cup against Bradford, then folded by defeat against Millwall, and then lost in the league, was perhaps the worst week I can remember as a Villa fan. And there have been many like that. But like you say, yeah, I think if you don't have those feelings of of watching the despair and the rot and the just miserable football, you can't really appreciate the highs. I don't really understand how a Manchester United fan functions if they just expect their team to win every single season. For me, I get used to the losing, and when they win, it's a great great feeling. But yeah, to answer your question, I do think they might edge staying up. I think there are a couple of other teams down there now. Sunderland are one of them. So I think they might just edge it, but it's going to go right to the wire.
I love it when the football fan comes out in anybody that comes on the show and they get sidetracked ranting about a point and then suddenly come back to answer the question. Great to have you on the show, Carl. Carl, you're obviously a football fan. You know that playing football makes you feel good, and you know that if you look good, you play good and you feel good. So I'm asking you, you're way down in South America, but how would you like to get your hands on a pair of Puma King boots, my man?
Oh, I would love some. Yeah, that would be great.
Bright Colombian yellow Puma King boots, I might have to add.
Attention here in South America, yeah.
Well, if that's the case, my man, you need to get on World Football Daily's Puma King competition. All you need to do is tell us how many goals Borussia Dortmund are going to score between March 15th and April 10th. Very simple indeed. You've already got 5 goals in the bag with their 5-1 win over Freiburg. They've got VfB Stuttgart coming up after the international break. They've got Malaga in the Champions League twice. And they've got Augsburg between those two Malaga ties. You've got 5 goals in the bag already. How many goals are they going to score in the next 4 games? Add that to the 5 and send it in to us, mate. How many is it going to be?
Goals for and goals against.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go for 18-6.
18-6. Wow, I love the confidence there that we're going to have another 13 goals in those 4 games against Stuttgart, Malaga, Augsburg and Malaga again in the Champions League. Carl, if you're right, I'm pretty sure Raf is going to be sending you down a pair of boots down to Colombia to be able to show off and show that you are the English Wiggins version of Faustino Asprilla, man.
So real quick, guys, real quick, just so you know, he will be competing with the likes of Adam Sway, who entered today as well. He says, hey, guys, Borussia Dortmund will score 11 and concede 8. That is from Adam in Cleveland.
Guys, he's got less love for Borussia Dortmund than Christian Nyari does, which says something, because he did not give them much of a chance. That's for sure. Carl, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on World Football Daily today. Just quickly tell us what's coming up on the Colombian Football Podcast this week before you go.
I was dominated by World Cup action. So I'm going to be at the game tomorrow, Colombia against Bolivia, and then I'm going to be traveling to Venezuela to watch Venezuela against Colombia. I'm hoping to speak to the ex-Venezuela manager, Richard Páez, about the remarkable rise of Venezuela over the last few years, maybe a little bit of politics with the Chavez influence. So it's going to be really dominated by Venezuela too.
Carl, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. We'll be checking out the Colombia Football Podcast when it's up on www.worldfootballdaily.com, and we'll be having you back for sure to chat more about Wigan Pies and South American football meeting under your roof, man. Thanks so much for joining us. Take care, and we'll have you on the show very time soon indeed.
Thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure. Take care and stay in touch.
We will do. Carl joining us here from the Colombian Football Podcast. Carl Warswick there, the Wigan native that has managed to make it big down in South America. Fantastic indeed. I do love it when we get the English guys kind of going abroad and covering, you know, South American football and stuff. We get them on the show and you think, just it's so weird to hear that kind of northern accent coming through talking about South American football, because even in the UK you generally just get a very generic English accent on the television talking about it, or you get your kind of English with a Spanish twang sort of accent coming through on South American football coverage. But you know, fantastic to hear a good local Wigan lad giving us a bit of South American talk. Raf, we're going to take a very quick break on the show here on World Football Daily. When we come back, we'll be reminding you how you can get involved in the Puma Kings competition. Once again, Carl giving us his numbers. And what about yours? Show at worldfootballdaily.com. Remember to get your talk and your answers in to our competition. We'll be back in a moment, right after this very brief musical interlude from Mr. Gonzalez.